we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the True Peak Hour podcast, powered by Engineers. I'm here with Jenny Ortiz. What's up, Jenny?
Hey.
I'm Crystal, and I'm super excited about today's topic. We're going to be going over vocal production.
Right.
And we actually kind of powwowed before doing this episode, and we realized we had a lot of content and a lot of things to say on what it means to do vocal production, what goes into it, and the different layers of it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's going to be a pretty not lengthy, it's going to be like filled with a lot of information that I'm excited to discuss with you. But first, how's it going?
Pretty good. Yeah. Super hot.
Bro, it's super hot.
It's hot. It's like my dog, dog can't be outside on by herself.
No. It's too much.
Bring your dogs in. Bring your birds in.
The birds.
bring all the animals in the house.
Yeah.
I did notice that we have like a leaking sprinkler in the front. Mm. And every time I wash dishes through the window, I'm like noticing like the puddle of like water out there. And I'm like, ooh, I need to get that fixed. But it's kind of cute because you see random bees or birds just going to it and drinking water.
It's like a community fountain.
Yes. And I'm like, aw. So I don't know. Now I'm in like, I don't want to get sued by the LAWP.
Yeah.
DWP. But I should get it fixed. But it makes me think of all those animals who don't have water right now.
We should get you a little fountain.
I should.
Yeah, a little bird feeder, all that shit. You're going to be like Snow White.
You're right. But, yeah, I noticed that. That was pretty cool to see, like, little birds showering and drinking water out of the leaky sprinkler in the front.
Because it's fucking hot here in L.A., man.
And we're in the valley, so it's, like, desert hot.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it.
What about you? How's it going?
It's good, man. I've just been chilling, staying away from the heat, trying to find formulas. Crazy out here. Mom life is crazy. They're making it hard for us, but we're going to, persevere.
Yes.
I'm good, though. I'm excited. Summertime vibes.
Yeah, it's definitely Childish Gambino summertime vibes.
Yeah, exactly.
Playlist.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I really don't have anything else to say, but it's summer vibes. Let's get to it. Mm-hmm. Vocal production.
Yeah. So I did my little research on vocal production. I wanted to find the perfect definition, getting straight to the point. And I found out vocal production is crafting the sound of a human voice.
Yeah, that's exactly what we do now.
Yeah.
Like someone comes in and they're like, how come I don't sound like Travis Scott?
Mm-hmm. And then you're just like, give me 5 minutes.
Yeah, I thought it was important to go over it because there's so many artists that come in and don't necessarily understand what goes into crafting their sound. And it's like, it's more than just recording, and it's almost like a separate layer of mixing. It's really putting in time, just focusing in on their sound. Like you said, crafting the sound of someone's voice.
Yeah.
But then it goes, like, it trickles into mixing, right? Because now you find the sound and you gotta make sure that it's not buried in the mix, whatever instruments or other sounds you have going on.
Yeah, from that to being experimental to making sure it's on time with the song and also tuned with the key of the song. So it's all those little pieces that us engineers, we have to pay attention. And for some artists who love to record themselves, they might miss those marks.
Yeah.
For us being engineers and working at different studios with different artists, different tones, different genres, we get to learn all those tricks and are able to just catch certain, like, issues when they arise.
I think there's just so much that goes into it. And when you gave me the definition of what vocal production means is like crafting someone's sound. So let's say I have a session and someone booked it and it's not like, hey, I'm just going to record like 10 songs or in that's it. I'm going to give them the bounces at the end of the day. It's like we're actually sitting down and we're spending time on like you might like we're new to each other, right? I'm learning you. You're learning how I work. And you're maybe in the early stages of your career. And the first thing I want to know is like, is there a mood for what people want to experience when they hear your voice? Or if there's any like references of songs that are similar to what you're going for. And I don't mean in terms of mixing, but like the way the vocals sit in the mix, right? So now I can start thinking about, oh, the vocals you're looking for are a little bit more lushy, or they're a little breathy as opposed to dark and aggressive. So now that I have that in my head, I immediately start thinking, okay, maybe we should use this microphone. Maybe we should use this compressor because you, you know, are more of a pop artist and the attack and release times of this compressor are kind of better for that as opposed to whatever else genres there are. So I always like to have that discussion first if it's a new artist and we're actually like going to sit down and craft this sound together. And I feel like a lot of people just don't understand that it's like really a whole separate layer of mixing. And to the point where if you look at people's credits, there's credits just for vocal producers that are not the mixing engineer and they're not the recording engineer sometimes. It's really just someone that's sitting with the artist and just putting in so many hours of work to help them find that sound.
Working with vocal producers, before a lot of these top artists, before they send it out to mixing, the album or the track, they always send it, if they're working with a vocal producer, the vocal producer's first touching up the vocals. So artists, vocal producers like Cucurl, he's worked with like Beyonce, Rihanna, Maida, just about everybody in the music industry that does pop or R&B. So he, I just saw on his page that he has like a Spotify playlist of all the work he's worked on. And you can go in and listen to all the music he's worked on and what he vocally produced, helped vocally produce on. So I'm definitely going to tap in on that. But producers like that are very important to guide artists to create a sound for themselves.
Yeah, I was looking at this playlist now. So we got Mariah Carey, Touch My Body, Sierra, High Price, Rihanna, What's My Name, Jennifer Lopez, What Is Love? I mean, Umbrella by Rihanna. We got Katy Perry on this playlist, Camila Cabello. Literally anyone that is like a pop singer, R&B singer, this man's touched their vocals. We should get him on a show. But that goes to show that there is power in having just like one person focus in on your vocals and find that sound, because now you can designate that to that individual and then have separation from the mix where it's kind of a new set of ears and now they can help blend it all together.
So
you were saying something earlier about listening out for things. So what do you mean by that?
Especially if you're working with an artist who is developing their sound, you just catch a lot of these artists don't have the tracking knowledge of making sure when they do harmonies or they do overdubs or doubles, making sure that they sound exactly the same. So, for example, if they do a double on a certain part of the verse, you got to make sure that if you're tracking it three times, they all sound pretty in unison or at least pretty close to each other where you can vocal align it and it is not going to sound off. So as a recording engineer, those are the things you kind of catch. You probably also want to catch how they enunciate things. If they're like mumbling and it's not part of the song and they're not saying the word right, you don't want to just like ignore it. And then later in the mix, someone's mixing it and then brings it up. And it was something that you could avoid and during the recording process. And just making sure when they're singing harmonies as well, sometimes they'll sing a long note and fade out. So if you're doubling those harmonies, making sure that each harmony is at the same length of the note they're either holding. So I've gotten a couple folk songs where they do a lot of harmonies and some of them end quickly. So now I have to go in there and time stretch. Luckily, there's so many harmonies, you kind of get away with it by time stretching the ends of it. But sometimes you can't, and it might sound too robotic. As a recording engineer, you sit there and you catch those things that the artist normally doesn't pay attention to when they're just like tracking, especially by themselves. If they're not used to recording in that sense, and then finally come to the studio, you know, you catch those things and they learn based off of that. So when they record themselves, they're like, oh, okay, I got to make sure all my doubles are in unison and they all sound clean. So things like that you catch during a recording session.
Yeah, when it's a new artist, the first thing I try to do is listen to any work they might have out, even if it's like, you know, up on SoundCloud or demos that they could text me over. So I get an idea, like I said, just a reference of what we're trying to do. Based off of that, I'm thinking what mics would best complement that. If I have the luxury of doing a shootout between like two or three mics, but prior to like actually doing our takes, I would love to do that. That's rare these days because people are very limited in booking time. So just kind of going off of experience of like, okay, sometimes women sound better on this microphone as opposed to another, just based off of experience. Mm-hmm. So I try to listen out for those things. And also having a vocal chain that I'm used to, not necessarily I have to use it for every person, but what I'm familiar with in terms of how I can manipulate the pieces of gear for the artist. Mm-hmm. So those are things I think of prior to the session. And then once we're actually, you know, starting to roll, I think the hardest thing is just me getting used to the artist and the artist getting used to me. Like you said, a lot of people record themselves and that transition of them letting go of that control and they accepting our coaching, it's hard because they're used to being in control.
Yeah.
And dictating like what takes are good and it's just different from when you go from a home studio to having a recording engineer. So being able to help them adjust to that is like the hardest part for me. So when we're doing these takes early on with a new artist I'm working with, I listen to maybe they have a nasally voice. Mm-hmm. Maybe they like to actually like record super quietly.
Right.
So that affects like the preamp I'm going to choose.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're actually super high energy and like to do a whole dance while they're recording. Maybe they're actually really raspy in the voice. Like these are all different things I listen for when recording. Mm-hmm. Also, if they're the type of artist to already memorize the lyrics beforehand,
right,
that also affects the performance because now they can actually sing the lyrics with emotion rather than try to read at the same time. Yeah. So if I notice that they are able to do that, then I know I can get a little craftier because there's less attention towards reading and getting the right lyrics down and more towards delivering a performance. Right. So that kind of leads into something you and I were discussing when we were talking about this topic, which means like coaching the artist. And you kind of have to talk them through the takes. Like, it's not just recording the take and then moving on, laying down hook verse, and that's it. you have to be like, hey, you were kind of off on that one. Can you try it again? Can you deliver with more energy? You have to coach them. You like you really play a role in the vocal production.
Yeah, and that definitely sets you apart from like being a regular engineer and just tracking the session. If you're able to coach and you step up and you start letting them know during the recording session, coaching them on their tracks, on the way they dub stuff, they'll remember that.
And
most of the time they do like that. So the next time they book a session, they're going to want to book with you. I remember doing those things and they really appreciated that. They were just like, they would always ask for my opinion, if anything. They're like, what do you think about that? You know, instead of just being quiet.
Yeah, yeah. I would keep a notepad next to like my mouse.
Yeah.
And I would scribble down the playlist number of the takes I like. Because, you know, if we were just loop recording or something, I'd be like, all right, like take 7, take 11. And then when we stop and they come into the room and want to go over takes, I'm like, oh, I marked down ones that like stood out to me in particular. Right. Would you like to listen to those? And they're like, oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
They might even have some too. Like, oh, can you mark this one down for me before like they keep rolling? Right. So taking notes of stuff like that. I stopped doing it on notepads. Now I just write it on the comments section of Pro Tools.
Of course.
And so I'll just like, when I open up some of my old recording sessions, it's just like random digits in the comments section. But I know it's because I had playlist notes.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I like to do. Another thing is just, like you said, listening for enunciation and delivery. Like, hey, I really like the way you ended that last word breathy rather than just ending it so sharp. And they're like, oh, okay, like, let's try that a few times. Or just being experimental and be like, hey, let's do different ways and see how they sound.
I learned a lot of my vocal production techniques by working with, like, camps, a lot of writing camps, and especially working with producers who themselves are vocal producers, just by shadowing them, seeing how they record artists, whether if it's a rapper or a singer, and just coaching them in how the way they enunciate or pronounce stuff, because enunciating is the way it sounds, and then pronouncing it is the way you're saying it. So it's almost similar, but there's still a difference. With rap, it has to be the energy you're saying it with. Either you're saying it soft, louder, strong, and it's giving an effect to that verse or that cadence that they're saying. Also, I'm not a rapper at all, so sometimes I still have trouble mixing rap vocals, especially if they're rapping super fast, because I can't tell if you're not in pocket or not. And I think that's because I'm not a rapper myself. So sometimes when I do a mix, it's not off. Like, it sounds good to me, but to the rapper, they might tell you to move that small word or region maybe 100 samples over to the left or right. And I swear it's just so minimal.
It's not every session. It's like, I had one artist that I was recording. Part of his workflow was to always nudge the vocals 6 samples to the right, no matter what. He's like, just nudge it. And then, but it's also like, that's part of the sound. Sometimes like some artists like to deliver a little late and not so on beat. And other ones like to deliver a little ahead of the beat. And that's the sound. So it's like, that's why they come in and like, hey, can you nudge it 6 samples over to the left? And it was just like, that was the workflow. And then I did like 2 weeks with this artist and it became like night and day for me.
Yeah.
Like I would know to do it. Yes. After every take, I'd be like, all right, gotta nudge it.
Yeah. And you kind of get to know how many samples, like you memorize how many samples you're nudging all the time.
Yeah.
At least with the artists I work with, it's like, I always put it at 100 samples and it's always like 2 nudges to the left or right.
Yeah.
All the time. And it's not a problem. It's not, you don't hear that it's off, but it's like a feeling.
It's a feel, yeah.
And it's like it being in the pocket, like they say. So if an artist asks you to do that, don't feel like you're doing something wrong. It's just the way they're feeling that verse at the moment, how they want it to sound towards the beat. You know, maybe like there's a certain word that literally lands on that snare or that hi-hat hit. So, yeah, like we both kind of experienced that with rap a lot.
And something you mentioned about having worked with producers that kind of showed you how to work mm-hmm. with an artist, that for me was big too. Because, like, I've done the sessions where it's, like, a big-time producer and they have the handheld talkback.
Right.
And they're standing up and you can see them literally looking through the booth glass and jumping up and down when mm-hmm. they have a good take or just, like, doing the hand signal for again, mm-hmm. again, mm-hmm. or throwing some thumbs up.
Yeah.
And then talking back into the mic, like, hey, why don't you try it with a little bit more swag?
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're not hitting that pocket. Let's change the word of that lyric because it's fucking you up. It's like you ever encountered yeah. there was a certain word and mm-hmm. it's just messing them up. So they're like, let's just change it.
Yeah. Let's make it shorter.
Yeah. I learned so much from those sessions when it's a very experienced and producer that's coaching the artist. So they've done it so much and they've gotten a hit record off of that. So then you learn. And then
that's so much fun. Yeah. I still sit with Dem Joints and just watch him vocal produce people. Just if he has like a session going on, I always be like, can I pull up and just sit, you know? Because he engineers most of them because he's like on the fly vocal producing, making the beat at the same time, and the artist is there and they'll hop on the mic, you know? So he's very versatile at Pro Tools. So there's times where if I'm not engineering, I still want to be there to learn in that moment. And at the beginning of my career, I would think vocal production had to do with like harmonies only, but no, it has to do with like we said, pronouncing stuff, harmonies, effects, the tone of it.
I mean, it starts with the recording really. Yep. And then it can go as far as like effects.
Yes.
And the different layers, harmonies, different
melodies, the doubles, everything.
Yeah, all that stuff, it goes into it. Coaching the artist is a big part of it. If you're on the recording side of the vocal production, mm-hmm. it's a huge deal because you'll notice when it's a good session because they leave super excited, they leave confident, they feel like they did create something more than just a song, but they like came out sounding like what they heard in their heads.
Exactly.
And that's huge because they have such a hard time communicating.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I sound like this in my head, but I can't. Like, can you help me sound like that to the rest of the world? And
right.
it's a huge ask, but you can deliver just by communicating, by studying other music. Because a lot of the time, too, they'll be like, examples are of other popular songs that are out. So you have to study the music. You have to know your effects and your toolbox to be able to make things sound whispery or warm and crunchy.
Yeah. And if you have time to experiment after you did all the leads and all the backgrounds, and there's still time to like experiment with effects, we can lead on to like using plugins where you can pitch things up and down. You could be creative with your doubles and just add doublers and maybe doing those backward reverb mm-hmm. effects with like the syllable in the front. That's pretty cool. That's where you can get very experimental and just make the song come to life.
Yeah, when we are talking about being experimental too, it can start also during the recording stage. So if they send you a demo and you get a feel that's kind of a little bit more of a punky vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You told me you bought a amp
session. I did. We were working on this like whole project and there was no deadline to it. So that was pretty cool. And at the time, I heard one reference track and I'm like, oh, this has like a nice punk alternative rock vibe to it. And I immediately thought of like the band The Strokes and how like the lead singer has like a weird filter amp sound distortion thing on his vocal. And I Googled what exactly he used. And they used a small PV amp mm-hmm. and they put it you know, they put the mic in the input and they sang in the mic and the output came out of the amp going straight into the interface. And that's how they recorded the entire vocals. And I adapted that same technique onto the artist project. So there's like a couple ad-libs and a couple doubles that sound pretty crazy in the coming through the amp. And it was just like pretty fun to do that rather than just like plugging it in with like a plug-in.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, Sans amp or some shit. Yeah. I even did that this week where we ended up doing some vocal takes where the artist was singing through like a toilet paper roll, essentially.
Really?
Yeah. It's the same idea of like filtering vocals. So it was really only capturing this like muffled type of like high end.
I feel you, yeah.
And it sounded nice because then we layered that. So we did the harmonies doing with that technique, I guess.
Right.
And the leads were clean. And it just sounded lushy and but full.
Cool.
And it is interesting. It's not just like regular ass.
You could do a bunch of stuff.
You can experiment. Yeah, if you had time to experiment, definitely do it.
Yeah.
While you're recording.
Yeah.
Always get clean takes as well, obviously. But it's fun because then it feels like there's time and effort being put into.
Yeah, and you're creating it's like a real project. Mm-hmm. It's not like a song you're just recording and then, you know, you kind of just forget about it. You make it with experimenting, you just make it memorable, you know, and now you keep using those techniques different ways with different people. And I think and then it just trickles down to, like, people learning those techniques eventually off of other people and then just, you know.
Yeah. I feel like if this is something you're interested in or you are tired of your current
Workflow,
recording workflow.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're trying to just experiment with an artist you work with, you have a good repertoire with, and they're willing to experiment too, the best advice I have for you is to go and study what other people have done. So, like, I plugged this book last week, but Sylvia Massey's Recording Unhinged.
Yep.
Always a great resource for me when I'm in, like, a dud. The documentaries... The last one that the Beatles did on Disney Plus, the Get Back.
Oh, the one that they did, like, the recording part. Live?
Yeah, yeah, that the, one.
Yeah. That was very crazy. I don't know where it was, or Amazon?
Yeah, it was somewhere. But that documentary, seeing the different ways they captured different emotions,
right,
was really cool. So that really inspired me during time.
It inspires a lot of... sessions, because I remember I did a live sound session maybe a month ago. I didn't want to use a lot of mics. Mm-hmm. This was going to be streamed, like, on a tablet. Like, that's how people were going to hear it off of. And I know I had, like, two guitars. No, I had one guitar, one bass player, one horn player, and the drums. And I know everybody had to have their DI except for the horn. They were mic'd up. And then the vocal was mic'd up. But the drums, I was like, I don't want the drums to overpower everybody. So I literally thought about the Beatles, how they used to record. And I was thinking, I'm just going to mic it with two mics. One on the kick and one, no, actually three mics. One on the kick and two overheads.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Let's not be complicated, you know. Anyways, they're hearing it through their phone. And they worked out. So it's just techniques like that you see on with the Beatles, with the Strokes. You adapt those currently to this day.
Yeah, no, I think the biggest source of inspiration is just studying mm-hmm. what has been done before and listening.
Yes.
Listen, like, keep a playlist of sounds you like. I liked the way Childish Gambino sounded on this song, so I'm going to add it to his playlist. And then when you feel like you need some inspiration or you want to try something, you have that, like, ready at hand. You can go and listen to it and be like, oh, okay, I think they tried this. Or, Bernie Howard
mm-hmm.
From Alabama Shakes. I think it was in a Sound on Sound article. they were saying that she like put like cotton balls in her mouth and recorded, yeah, and recorded some takes through that. So, and if you like, her sound is incredible, stunning, and yeah, they had her like sing through that. But so they put like cotton balls in her mouth and then taped her mouth.
That sounds horrible.
I know. She like, I think
you gotta send me that song.
Oh yeah. I'll do it. It's so beautiful. Cool. They did just crazy experimental stuff like that, but that's part of her sound, and it sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's
incredible.
There's just like I mean, I guess we're going deep into like
nerd shit
and experiences, and like I haven't tried it. I just looked it up, and ever since I know about this mic, it's the copper foam mic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It looks so beautiful. It's like made out of like copper, mm-hmm, the color of penny and stuff. But if you sing through that mic, it sounds like it's filtered off, like in an old school radio sound. And obviously you can use it, you can do it, you can replicate that sound by like using some filters in your DAW. But using that mic must be like super fun.
Yeah, I told you we had it in my undergrad program, and we used that shit on everything.
Oh my god,
it was just fun. It was fucking,
imagine, yeah. It would be so dope to use it on a rapper.
Well, you know what? I do believe you said you know how to solder.
Yeah.
So we're gonna make. We should make one. We're gonna make one on stream.
Yeah.
Should we do that? Oh,
that would be fucking dope. Yeah.
Because I saw this really cute red telephone, and I wanted to buy it from like this vintage store. Sorry, I wanted to buy this cute old school red telephone, some fucking thrift store, vintage store, and I was just gonna take it apart and make it into a microphone.
Y'all heard it first.
Yeah.
Cool.
Getting high off of fucking soldering fumes.
Oh, no.
No, we'll be in a well-ventilated space. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's one way to get to that copper phone sound.
Yes.
That's not a plug-in way.
That mic is beautiful. Go look it up, because it just, I want to get that mic. I'm going to get it. I just haven't had the time to buy it, but it's a dope ass mic.
Mm. It's fun. It's definitely a fun microphone. It's handy. It's part of your toolbox.
Yeah, it's a. But yeah, being very experimental during sessions, if you have the time, and especially with upcoming artists, and you're working on a project, you know, go full force on that, and just experiment, like Sylvia Massey.
The GOAT.
The GOAT of experimentation. I think I read an article, or I think it was in her book, where she took the band somewhere in Europe, and they went to this old church.
Yeah.
And they recorded, like, drums. She recorded the whole band in this hallway, and it had really high ceilings, and I think the church was made of, like, bricks or cement or whatever, and they recorded, like, the reverb of the band. And that ended up being on the track too. So from the pictures, it looked freaking dope.
Yeah, if anyone wants to take me to Europe, I'll bring the gear.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I know, right? Let's go. I read that she what she does too is that if she has a month where the studio, they can book her to engineer, the first 2 weeks or a week, they'll knock out the important stuff, whether it's tracking the band and the vocals. She'll knock out the important stuff, get like the core of the songs, and then she'll use the last week of the month where she can get very experimental, and they can go in and book different different studios, different equipment, redub the guitars, stuff like that. So that's a pretty creative, like, schedule for a whole band to have an experience recording a project with Sylvia Massey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's like a Miss Frizzle.
Just, right.
Just, like, taking you on, like, you know, education, but, like, fun. We're going to get the work done.
Yeah, we're going to go crazy fun to Europe and record an album.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. I feel like that's all I got to say.
Yeah. I think we went over it.
You got some tips?
Oh, yes. bringing in, I think we're ready for the True Peak Tips.
Yeah, I think so.
True Peak Tips on vocal production. Yes, I do have one. My first True Peak Tip. Sometimes I have to stop doing this because I'm like, okay, not every song has to sound like this. I like to grab, when there's like harmonies or there's a double on a lead, I like to duplicate it, pitch it down, and add a doubler. So obviously it's going to have like that demonic, noisy, distorted vocal. But I like to do it, I like to try it almost on every song.
See how it sounds.
But at some point, I'm like, girl, you can't do it on every song. You know, you just, that's going
to sound. But the point is you try something different.
I randomly like to hear the vocal, how it sounds pitched down or pitched up, just to see the tone of it. Mm-hmm. So that's a cool tip you can try out. The next True Peak tip number two would be, I'm a fan of recording rappers and them over-enunciating words. It just gives it a more expressive tone to it. Nothing against mumble rappers, but it's just, it attracts my ear, that perfect enunciating of that word. Yeah. So that's one tip, is just over-enunciate on purpose. Especially if you're doing doubles. If you're over-enunciate in a different tone too, it adds like a texture to it. Tip three. It's during a vocal recording session, if you're dubbing, make sure that those doubles are in unison. There's a lot of times where maybe the artist, you're doubling and it's a fast pace, and the artist maybe said the instead of there. You got to make sure if you're tracking that there's everything is like perfect in unison, those doubles. That's it. It's because a little pet peeve on mine.
No, it's true. I get so many sessions where the doubles don't actually match the lead. And if you want to pan shit, you can't because it's so distracting.
There's times where I've like just deleted and muted it and just added a double layer on there because it's like,
it gets
the left and right's not gonna sound. One says the and the other one says there. It's like, I'm not gonna fix it.
Fucking out of the world.
Yeah, I'm like, well,
she flips tables over.
I just mute it and use the correct one and put a doubler on it, but I let them know like, yo, this is what happened.
Transparency.
Yeah,
so they know for the future.
Yep.
Yeah.
Catch it.
Okay, my True Peak tips for vocal production, mm-hmm. engineering, all that jazz. Mm-hmm. Mine are a little just broader. They're not as technical, but one, if you can get with a producer and shadow them on how they work with artists, I would recommend doing that. That's where I learned the most in terms of how those type of sessions flow and how to communicate with an artist. Number two, don't be afraid to coach the artist in those sessions, whether you're recording or mixing. Help them because it's going to show in the song how much effort is put into those recording takes. And my last one, I think we made it very clear, but be experimental. Mm-hmm. Whether it's from the recording stage or whether you're just trying shit out, post-production wise, do it because it can set you apart and it can help the artist find something kinky, but now it's part of their sound. Yeah. And if that was your doing, that's huge.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to be experimental either.
Yeah. That leads on to you, learning how to mix more, easier to mix, knowing the plugins you're using, all of that.
Yeah, and it's important to just try things, not even when you're in that role, but prior to that. So when they ask for certain sounds, you already know how to do it.
Yeah.
So practice on your own. Just, record yourself and start throwing random shit on there. Record yourself on different microphones and see how it affects your voice, because you know your voice the best. So, you know, just always study, always learn. And that's all I got for you today.
Yay.
And, yeah, follow us on Instagram, True Peak Hour. And follow me, Crystal Jerez. I'm at HER_EZ.
And mine is, I'm Jenny, obviously. But my Instagram is jny.mixedit. And you can contact us, too.
Yeah, for those reach questions. Out. We're pretty friendly.
Yeah.
And follow us on Apple, Spotify, whatever it is. You just told me about me leaning back from the microphone, and I've been stretching and everything. Hilarious. But yeah, follow us on whatever streaming platform you listen to this podcast on.
Yeah.
Subscribe, and that's it.
Yeah. Subscribe, rate, and comment.
All that jazz.
All that jazz. And probably catch us on Twitch one of these days, too.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Surprise announcement.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Hey guys, this is Jenny. You can now book us for mixing and mastering. You can find Crystal's and my profile at intonears.com, or you can go to our website where we have links to our social media pages, engineers' profiles, samples of our work, and also we provide virtual consultations for your mixes. If you want us to give you critiques, advice, and feedback, you can book us now at truepeakhour.com.